Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. We are very happy to be joined live in studio right now by the Executive Vice President of Football Operations for your Cleveland Browns, Sashi Brown. Sashi, welcome to the studio.
Good afternoon. How you guys doing?
Good, man.
We are doing very, very well. Before we get into the combine, I know you've spent a lot of time in Indy checking out all the prospects who could be new Browns. You spoke a little bit at the combine about the guys who currently are Browns but may hit the free agent market. Today is the tag day. Will there be a player tagged by the Cleveland Browns?
We do not expect to use the tag.
So all right.
There's only a little bit of time left here, so no, we're not going to use the tag, Nathan.
Okay, and any updates that you can give on the negotiations with any of the pending free agents of the Browns?
No, we're working through several. Can't go into more detail than that, but we are working through it still with a few guys. So,
all right.
And this process for you, Sashi, in your new role, is it still, you know, you're knee-deep in the work right now, the NFL Combine, free agency, the draft coming up. Is it still as exciting, you know, as it was the day that you accepted this role moving forward now that you're in the nitty-gritty?
Yeah, it's actually getting a little bit more exciting. Hugh and I were laughing the other day. It'd be good to get past this point. We're really excited about the players being back in about a month. And you know, the draft's coming up, so now you can start to, you know, feel things form. You have some ideas about who you might add to your roster. Seeing the guys, getting to meet them at the combine was really interesting. You get a chance to touch them and feel them for the first time. And we're certainly looking forward to the 30 visits as well. So really getting excited at this point.
And again, in this process, is there a particular characteristic that you're looking for, you know, that we might have missed in the past that is now going to be a part of the Cleveland Browns in the future?
I don't know about from a comparative standpoint, but definitely passion for the game is something that Hugh and I are huge believers in. We want guys that love ball, love coming to work hard, want to get better, want to be real pros, you know, have a career in the NFL. And be the best at their craft. And so that'll be a common trait that we'll look for in all our guys.
You go to the combine, you see every player from every position, you guys have a ton of interviews, you get to meet the people. What was probably the biggest learning experience for you going from in this role compared to other times when you've gone to the combine?
Well, a lot more intensive, you know, in terms of management of the entire staff. A lot of people come to you with different questions, but we had a really organized, well-run operation. And we had a number of scouts out that helped us. It was our first time really dealing and working side by side with our coaches, which happens there through the interview, formal and informal processes. And we had a great week. Hugh and I got a chance to spend a lot of time together with a number of the coaches, and certainly Pep and Ray both sat in our formal interviews, led some of the discussions there too. So it was a great opportunity to get a chance to feel each other out, and certainly the amount of time that you spend with the players and with the coaching staff was new, but really enjoyable and valuable.
Obviously, a lot of talk for the Browns about the quarterback position. What did you see from Goff, Wentz, and the other quarterbacks there, and how far along are you in your evaluations into saying, all right, we think this is our guy?
I think we're on pace in terms of, you know, our process. Our scouts have been out, and people, you know, this is the time when the evaluation process gets a lot of publicity. But the reality is it started, you know, last spring.
Sure.
For a lot of these guys when they were out for junior days, you know, in the spring, carry forward kind of our roster into the fall. And we do most of our work in the fall. I mean, the key here is not to fall in love with what you see at the very tail end of the process. That's highly publicized and is the last thing you see, so it can have an impression, but not to forget the substantive evaluation is really done by our scouts in the fall. The character, the medical at this point is really important, but most of the work that we've done so far in terms of evaluating these players is in the books, and we can't ignore that.
Based on the tape and sure, what you see them playing football.
Based on them actually playing football.
Yes.
And
Sashi, good,
I like that. Novel take us inside that interview room that, you know, so many fans that follow the combine don't know a whole lot about. And again, what percentage are you talking to them about themselves and their passion about the game? And what percentage are you essentially talking to them about football to understand their knowledge of the X's and O's of the game that they hope to become a professional in?
Yeah, so it depends on the player, depends on the position. Like if I was talking to Nate, knowing, you know, he's got the mental makeup that he has, I'd really want to spend a lot of time with our psychologist leading the discussion.
He needs
hey, you saw my Wonderlic score. Come on.
But, no, it really does depend on the player,
okay,
kind of what he brings to the table. There's certain guys you want to just feel out a little bit more from a X's and O's standpoint, and that's where Ray and Pep, Hugh would lead the discussion primarily. There's other guys that you just want to feel them as a person, and that's where I may get involved. others there's some background information that we want to clean up and clear up and I have a better understanding for. And so in those instances as well, there are times we certainly can have, you know, other folks lead the discussion specifically on that, whether it's our security or a psychologist. So.
All right. We asked some people for questions using the hashtag AskSosh, and our buddy Cleve TA came with one. And the question, and I'm sure this relates to hand size, I think is what he's getting at here, but do you automatically eliminate players based on certain measurables by not reaching a specific threshold?
Not automatically, but we do pay attention to them.
You don't want to bet on anomalies.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, there's enough data out there that you can look at that certain size, weight, height, speed, hand size that, you know, can become a problem. But again, going back to the tape, if a guy can throw a ball, we've seen him do it cold weather and otherwise not have a problem with the tight spiral. We're not going to get to the combine and decide his hand size precludes him from doing that when we've seen him do it.
And Sashi, I guess Paul DePodesta, and there was a lot of hype, you know, league-wide, nationwide about him being added here to the role for the Cleveland Browns. What role did he play at the combine, if any, and what role is Paul playing for the Cleveland Browns right now?
Yeah, so Paul's very involved in, you know, our strategy around how we're attacking the evaluations and our process getting through the draft. He's got a lot of experience in the area. Paul played football, which people tend to forget, you know, in college. And while he's spent a lot of time and had a lot of success in baseball, he's providing a lot of value in terms of helping us think through, you know, as we structure our department, but also, you know, our decisions and how we will and won't make decisions through our processes. And that can be something as simple as what questions we want to ask, you know, in an interview session. It can be, you know, our strategy in terms of building the roster and as we look at what positions we'll specifically target in the draft versus free agency. You know, all this plays together. The offseason, although there's different components, they really have to fit together.
Sure.
And he's tremendously insightful and just a smart guy, great resource to have.
You've talked about wanting to build through the draft, and when you do that, that means you draft, you develop, and then you retain your players. As you head into your first free agency, you know, there, let's count Alex Mack if you were to opt out. There are four kind of main free agents for the Cleveland Browns. If it gets to the point, because a lot of people are asking, well, you know, how could it be that all four might not come back if that's a possible outcome? How do you approach, you know, the valuation and that type of negotiation? How do you see the world of free agency in terms of retaining your own or even bringing in new free agents, especially when it seems that the paradigm's shifting with how much money is actually available? How do you marry what traditional values versus what maybe the new values might be on the open market?
Yeah, it's interesting. We just got out of a meeting talking about the number of free agents that aren't being retained by their own teams, which is a surprising trend around the league. We're not, to answer your question, we're not panicked if we lose any one or bundle of our free agents. We do have a good plan moving forward to look at those guys. Certainly we prefer to retain our own guys. We know them very well, what they do well on the field, what they don't, and how they can fit into our structure moving forward. But we've been in contact with those players and then potentially players at you know, other positions that we'll identify through our process. And when we can talk to those guys in March, we certainly will do that. You know, at the start of free agency, if we feel like that's the best path. We do anticipate we'll have a number of draft picks this year and we'll be able to fill some holes there too. So again, it's this entire strategy, and free agency just doesn't start to happen and close in the first week of March.
Right.
And so, you know, we'll be mindful and cautious and thoughtful throughout the process. And there's a possibility, again, as I said, that, you know, one or more of these guys does come back to us through these next couple of weeks.
We talked about the quarterbacks, and certainly the quarterbacks at the draft get a lot of attention, but there are guys out there. Sam Bradford potentially could be a free agent. RG3 likely to be out there. Colin Kaepernick, they're saying he might want to be out of San Francisco, although they've said they want to retain him. How do you look at, you know, the cost of bringing in a guy who has had some success, but also, you know, we know teams don't just let franchise quarterbacks walk, versus drafting and developing your own guy? How do you kind of think of that balance?
Yeah, so I think if a guy at this point has solidified himself as a franchise QB, he's not on the market.
Correct.
And so we're really choosing between guys that either have done it and fallen out of that kind of nomenclature of being thought of as a franchise guy, or a guy who has the potential but hasn't risen to that level. And, you know, it's possible that we'll explore some deals with those guys again when we can have some discussion. My sense is quarterbacks like this rarely you know, hit the market. And if they are, there's probably a pretty damn good reason. So you better be cautious and know what you're buying.
Absolutely.
Last question for me is besides the quarterback position, is there a position that you guys as a staff collectively view that needs to have tangible, much more tangible talent or a tangible upgrade in 1 year with new head coach Hugh Jackson in 2016?
We do think we need to be able to affect the passer on defense. So either it's a three or someone from the outside that can affect the pocket and win one-on-one. Ray's defense is largely predicated on bringing blitzes to create defense when he pressure on the quarterback when he can. But the guy who can, and we've seen it in the Super Bowl, the guy who can, when you can rush forward and get to the quarterback, it makes a big difference because you're dropping another guy in coverage. So we love that. To add a guy that can do that. Again, they're almost like quarterbacks. The guys that can do that don't hit the market.
Right.
So we'll look. We do want to make sure that as we're adding players, we're adding young players, you know, in terms of, you know, where we're heading as a team, mm-hmm. and where we need to build. So we're conscious of all those things. And you know, if there's someone who checks enough boxes and we can bring them in at the right value, we'll do that. And we've got the cash and cap room to be able to be aggressive.
How important is the wide receiver position to you in terms of getting, if you do make an investment in a quarterback, you look around the league in Oakland, they draft Amari Cooper, they bring in Michael Crabtree. In Jacksonville, they have a guy named Allen Robinson. They got Allen Hurns, Marquise Lee, signed Julius Thomas. You know, Minnesota, they rely on Adrian Peterson, but they draft Stephon Diggs, they sign Mike Wallace, they've got a Pro Bowl tight end in Kyle Rudolph. When you bring in this quarterback, how important is it to get him the requisite weapons on offense to have success?
You want to be balanced. You know, we like where we are in the backfield. We feel like we've got some guys that can contribute on the outside, but certainly Gary had a great year last year. Travis stepped up and had a good year, and we hope that those guys will be, obviously Gary will, that Travis will be back. But we do feel like we need to, you know, have some great play at the wide receiver position, whether it's from the slot, certainly outside. I think what we lacked last year in terms of production, a little bit of what Miles brought in small doses the year
mm-hmm. before. Money Miles.
Which is the ability to make the contested catch, move the chains on third down when you need a guy to make make a play for you. And Trav brings a lot of elite speed and ability to get down the hill, downhill. But you can take that away if you drop a safety. We need a guy in coverage when, you know, he's being fouled and contested with a backer coming across or a safety coming across, can still bring the ball down. And we'll value, you know, being able to add someone that can add that dimension to our roster. And that might be Dwayne. It might be someone else.
Knowing that things are fluid and can change at any time, certainly as you go through the interviews and get all the medical information, et cetera, how close are you or do you have the initial draft board set for this year? And if not, when do you expect that first draft board to be ready?
Well, we'll get through the fall. Most every team at this point has their preliminary draft board set based on what their scouts have brought in through the fall. And that can be affected significantly by, you know, medical, certainly, but also some character, too. I mean, character, you can eliminate a guy off your board. You
sure.
have guys that are very high up. So you'll add those two components. And so our board will change, you know, over the next month a bit. But to a large degree, we've got the skeleton, at least, of, you know, what we'll be looking at, you know, come draft day.
If the draft was today, would you know who your guy was at number two?
No, we wouldn't. We're not at that point yet.
Okay. All right, well, we'll let you go back there and get to work so you can get to that point. You got a little bit of time, and obviously free agency coming up, but we appreciate you spending the time with us here, and hope you enjoyed your first combine experience in the role as Executive Vice President of Football Operations for the Cleveland Browns.
I did, and it was very comforting to see you there.
It was good to be there. It was good to be there. It was good to be seen.
Matt, good to spend some time with both of you guys.
All right.
Thank you.
We'll see you soon.